champions, Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
That was one heck of a weekend of football.
Yeah, I was so wound up after the last game, after that Chiefs-Bills game. I couldn't sleep, and I'm like, all right, I got to find a game to put on. And I ended up finding, like, I think it was like Washington State, Oregon basketball. And it's like, and there's like 50 people in the stands. It was like 53-12. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I need something. I need some kind of, like, you know, you go through that withdrawal after the game ends. And I mean, I'll be honest, that was a tough one because, I mean, I've known Sean and Andy for so long. I think the world of both those guys. And, you just hate to see one of them lose that football game. But it was an all-timer. We couldn't really experience the Super Bowl the same way we could experience that game because we were working, we were busy. It's a whole different way of watching a football game. But I don't know if I've ever seen a game like that. I guess at some point there's been some crazy games, but that one had everything. It was it was certainly a roller coaster.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It really was. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan with Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro. We have a bunch of Eagles stuff to get into. We want to talk about Howie Roseman a little bit later and the draft that's rapidly approaching for him with 3 first-round picks. We want to look through the Eagles' list of pending free agents, try to figure out how many of these guys it might make sense to bring back. But I want to talk more about the football we watched this weekend because it's tough. And I think just about every city with the team that's not playing does this, but it feels like we do it a lot where we can't just enjoy good football. We watch it with, like, in the back of our minds, like, these teams are playing a different sport than the Eagles played this year. Do you do that? Or are you able to just, like, enjoy a game?
I guess a little bit, but I also think those teams were playing a different brand of football than they played during the season. You know, like, you watch that Bills Chiefs game and that was not regular season football. I mean, people talk about everyone raises their level in the postseason. That was different. I mean, that was different than anyone has played, mainly offensively. But I didn't get this, until the very end. You know, it wasn't like it was a bad defensive game. It was just both offenses. I mean, quarterback play has evolved to such an extent. I sent out a tweet the other night. The all-time top two postseason passers for their careers are now Pat Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. I mean, they're playing the game at a level that no one's ever played it, whether it's Brady or Montana. So obviously they don't have the Super Bowls. Patrick has one, but I can't help watch that kind of quarterback play outside the context of, like, Jalen can never do this. And that might not be totally fair because A, we don't know what Jalen can do in the future. And B, there's other ways to win football games. You know, look at the 49ers. I mean, Garoppolo didn't do anything and they won on defense and special teams. So, I mean, I think that's not totally fair, but it's impossible for me to sit there and say, well, Jalen will never do this. But you can certainly win without having to do that. It's not easy. I can't believe the plays that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes made. I mean, it's just, they defy. I mean, it was just back and forth. Josh Allen walks off the field for the last time this season, 13 seconds away from the AFC Championship game. He never gets on the field again, and the season's over. It blows your mind. The level of offensive play that we saw was unlike any. I mean, unlike anything I've ever seen. It was, I mean, Gabriel Davis had the same number of yards as Quez Watkins this year, fewer yards, you know, and he's just out there catching everything. It was spectacular. It was. I felt bad for people who don't like sports, you know, who can't enjoy like a game like that. You know, like it's just I feel bad for somebody who's like sitting at home and, you know, watching $10,000 Pyramid or something, like whatever else was on. But it was I mean, all the games were amazing, but that one obviously stood out.
Yeah, I think I came away with these takeaways. If you can get that elite level of the quarterback, you're set. And the goal, like, you have to try to get that guy. If you can't get that guy, you just really have to build up your team around whatever your guy does and the rest of the team, right? I mean, the Garoppolo way is a tougher way to do it. It is, because there's a good quarterback, or a great quarterback, I should say. It covers up so much.
Right.
And I did the same thing. Like I wanted to just enjoy it, but you're watching some of these throws, and just, I mean, the pure arm talent from the guys we saw this weekend. It's not saying that Jalen Hurts can't grow, but he's never going to make those passes, right? Like he's never going to throw that deep ball Josh Allen threw. You know, those are the plays that are you, as much as anyone wants to get better, if you don't have that, you don't have that.
Yeah, and that's true. But, you know, Drew Brees doesn't have that, and he won a Super Bowl, you mm-hmm. know, so it can be done. I always believed that you can't win a Super Bowl if you don't either have a Hall of Fame quarterback or an elite, like, top defense. And he was really one in 2017. I mean, their defense was top 10, this is probably 6 or 7, but it wasn't an all-time great defense. Although, you know, there were times they played like it, but the Eagles are really an exception. If you don't have one of those two things, it's really hard. That's why, you know, in my mock draft today, I go defense, because this team's only hope to have a deep playoff run with Jalen as your quarterback is to have a top 5, top 7 defense. I mean, they have to. And it's probably true with, you know, even if you have a better quarterback or a more of a conventional quarterback, whatever you want to say. But, it's hard to watch it outside that context. And, you know, I must have had 100 people tweet to me and say, hey, do you think Howie's watching this? You know, of course Howie's watching the Chiefs, meaning he worked with both those guys. I don't think it's going to make Howie – you know, roll up all his notes and say, all right, we got to go take Malik Willis or something. But it's interesting to see. I mean, you know, you look at all the quarterbacks that have beaten the Eagles in the playoffs over the years. I mean, everyone, I mean, whether it's Kurt Warner, Brady, Breeze, Aikman, I mean, they're all Hall of Famers. You know, who's the last quarterback who wasn't a Hall of Famer to beat the Eagles in a playoff game? I mean, you know, that's it just shows. I mean, that's what you need. I mean, with some exceptions, but not all that many. So it's an interesting way to look at it. And I understand that Eagles fans got really angry and frustrated about their quarterback situation watching that game Sunday.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people will point out the numbers for, you know, Josh Allen early in his career wasn't very good. People thought they blew that pick, but he still had immense talent. You know, he had things that not many people could do, and it was just about whether or not he'd develop the accuracy, and he did. Now, that's not just like Jalen has worked on his accuracy, and it's worked out great. I mean, he jumped up about 10 percentage points this year. So if he continues that, like, there's a reason to think he can get better, but there's also reasons to think he's never going to make exceptional throws to the level we saw in that game. And that could be okay. You know, you don't have to do that, but it makes it a lot more fun when you can. And I'll even throw Matt Stafford in that mix, because there was one point in that game that really annoyed me in the Rams game where he made some kind of a wacky sidearm throw. And who was it? Collinsworth said that was a Mahomes-like throw. I want to be like, Stafford's been doing that longer than Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Like, no one saw it because he was in Detroit.
That's kind of, I mean, that's his signature. So, but yeah.
But it would be Stafford's signature if anyone saw him play in Detroit.
That's true. But nobody was watching the Lions all those years. No, that's a fair point. But I do think Jalen has a lot. Look, they went to the playoffs in his first year. If he does get better, there's no telling what the ceiling is. Like you said, he went from 52 to 61%, 61.2% maybe. And he has – look, both those guys, Mahomes and Josh Allen, can run. Mahomes isn't even fast, but he's like such a threat throwing the ball that there's always all this room for him to run. And he's fast enough, but he's not like one of – he's not like a speedy, quarterback, but he always ends up averaging like 9 yards a carry just because – everyone's so worried about him chucking the ball anywhere at any time. There's all this room for him to run. Josh Allen is just a flat-out beast running the ball.
Mahomes runs kind of funny. Like, he runs like he's on glass or like on ice, and he's trying not to slip and slide all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can run. I mean, he's elusive, but it's funny. Some quarterbacks just run funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, for Hurts, that's, it's – you have to take that into consideration, his running ability, which when he's healthy, and obviously the ankle is a problem at the end of the year, but it's a weapon. I mean, it's as much of a weapon as it was for Randall and for Vic and, for a time with Donovan. He's that good at it. And as he figures out when to do it, when not to do it, that'll make him even more dangerous. But yeah, to think that he'll ever be one of those guys. But then again, I think if you don't have that big arm, like Brady doesn't have that huge rocket launcher, Breeze didn't, but those guys are just incredibly accurate and don't make mistakes. So if you don't have that, you have to be close to a 70% passer these days and, not throw interceptions. So you can win that way, but you just have a smaller margin of error.
Yeah, and it becomes tricky trying to figure out how you factor in the running ability. There's no like clear cut equation to figure out this is good quarterback play, this is bad quarterback play based on the numbers. And I don't know how you factor in the running, but I think it has to be complementary to the passing aspect of it. It can't just be the focal point.
No, I would agree with that. I just think for me, I was just going to say third down conversions – for me, a really good way to factor in the running and the passing. You just kind of look at how someone does combined on third down. And that's going to tell you, because that's generally when Jalen is running, at least off script. There might be, set play at first down, but he's generally running on third down to make a play. So I think if you kind of look at, the percentage of the conversion percentage, and for him, it was really high. I mean, his combined third down conversion, running and throwing, was pretty high. So that's an encouraging number.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. With your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. Kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we should talk about overtime because it's become a big topic. I don't feel super strongly about it.
I do.
Some people are, and maybe you're with them, like pitchforks ready to burn down the league office. I actually I know I'm in the small minority here. It doesn't bother me, the overtime format. The way I look at it is you didn't win or lose the game with a coin toss. You had plenty of chances to win that game. I'm just looking at this game in particular. Like, you let Travis Kelce open in the middle of the field. You let them go down the field with 13 seconds left. You had chances. So I understand the frustration that you didn't get to see Josh Allen get the ball back, but if his defense gets the ball back, he does. So it's a team sport.
Well, let me ask you this. If Josh Allen said heads, who wins the game?
Probably the Bills.
Well, it's that simple for me. I just think both teams should have a chance. And
but you play defense. There's two sides to the team.
But I think both teams should have a chance to play offense. And it's such an offensive league now. Points are higher than they've ever been. Third down conversions are higher than they've ever been. I mean, they changed the rule. I mean, it used to be you could go down and get a field goal and win it overtime. Yeah. But, like, kickers had evolved to the point where, like, a 55-yarder is a layup for these guys. I mean, kickers are making 55-yarders, like, at 40%. So or higher than that. It's like, just under 50%. And so teams would, like, they'd get the ball back. They'd get two first downs, kick a field goal, and the game is over. So they changed the overtime rule in kind of a reaction to how the game was changing. And that's why I think both offenses need a chance, because it's such an offensive game. All the rules protect quarterbacks. They call DPI on, you know, if a guy looks at you wrong. Everything favors the offense. So to say the defense can get a stop, well, that's true. But I just think both offenses, the way the game is now, it's so offense heavy. Both offenses deserve a shot. And I don't know. I just think that's fair. And I know the numbers say your odds of winning the game aren't that much better if you get the ball first or second in overtime. I get that. I just think it's fair. Give both offenses a chance. If the first team goes down and gets seven, second team doesn't get seven, the game's over.
I think that's okay. Fair. So that's how you would do it. That's how you would fix it. You just go.
I would just keep doing that. I just keep giving teams possessions until one scores a touchdown and the other doesn't, or one scores a field goal and the other doesn't score. I hate college overtime passionately. I hate anything that's a bastardization of the game. Like even in baseball when they put the guy in second base.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like penalty kicks deciding. Like, in soccer they call them. What do they call it? Anything that's not the game. Like, basketball is the only sport where overtime, it's just they just keep playing the game, you know? And I just don't like anything that changes what the game really is or what the sport really is. So, you know, all these, like, contrived things, give each team the ball at the 50, then the 40, then the 30, whatever, any of that stuff. Just play football until one team wins. I just
think would you rather them just go to, like, here's a 10-minute quarter, play it out?
No, because I think
that would be the game. That would just be a continuation of the sport.
Yeah, I think if one team – but, I mean, I still think there should be, you know, if you get a touchdown on your first drive, now the other team's got to – so, you know, the other team's got to get a touchdown and an extra point or they lose. I want each team to get a chance – and if it's still tied, you just do it again until one team doesn't score a touchdown.
All right. I'd be fine with that. But like I said, I don't feel strongly about the way it is. It just doesn't bother me the way it bothers a lot of people.
I mean, I don't have sleepless nights because of it. I mean, the irony is that the Chiefs tried to get it changed. And they did. The rest of the league said, no, we like it the way it is. I mean, that kind of ending just leaves me a little empty, I guess. Josh Allen handled it like what a class act he is. He's like, hey, that's not why we lost the game. We lost the game because we, you know.
He's right.
Yeah, of course he's right. But a lot of guys won't say that. I mean, a lot of guys are like, we got jobbed. I mean, that's the rules. Play by the rules. Man, he is something, though. I'll tell you what. He is so much fun to watch. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is about the kickoff with 13 seconds left. I know it's not on our budget, but I must have gotten 1,000 tweets from people about, you know, they should squib kick it, which and blaming McDermott. First of all, I mean, that's the special teams coach. I mean, Sean McDermott with 13 seconds left is trying to get his defense ready for you know, for whatever Mahomes is going to do. But the other part of it is it's a lot easier said than done. And a lot of things can go wrong if you do that. First of all, if it's a short kick, the receiving team can call a fair catch on a kickoff and the clock doesn't start. You can give yourself up, you know, and the clock doesn't start. On a kickoff, the clock starts when you touch the ball. But if you take a knee, if you call a fair catch, the clock's not going to start. As a kicker, it's not the easiest thing. It's not like punting. It's not the easiest thing to say, I'm just going to squib kick it down to the 10. I mean, because the ball could go out of bounds. It could go into the end zone. It's a touchback anyway. Or it could go really short. Like, say it goes to the 35 and the guy calls a fair catch. Now you're closer, you know, you're closer than you would have been. So if it goes out of bounds, it's on the 40. It's not like kickoffs, you know, I'm just going to kick it down to the 8. And then they got to make a decision whether to let it try to bounce into the end zone or fair catch or whatever. So it's not as easy. It's not as cut and dry as it seems. And with 13 seconds left, you're not thinking this is going to be an issue anyway. The kickoff into the end zone is a safe deal. But, you know, I'm sure if Sean had it to do over again, he probably would have kicked it short.
Yeah, all that to say, I would have squibbed it.
But just that it's not as easy. Like, as a squib kick, I mean, the ball can go out of bounds and – now you're getting at the 40 with 13 seconds left.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still the right play to squib it. And I mean, I know McDermott's got to get his defense ready to play, but if you're the head coach, that's still on you to make sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's his responsibility.
Yeah.
I guess my point is just that it's not quite as simple as it sounds. Like, a lot of things can go wrong if you squib it.
I guess, but I still think it's pretty clearly the right move. Yeah, there, you can entertain it. But what do you make about the other strategy that's going around, that once they have the ball, all the corners and any DB, or if it's a linebacker in coverage, simply hold or tackle the receivers because it's a automatic first down, is 5 yards, but the clock goes and you can't move the ball like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting. It hasn't really happened yet, because it is like there's a loophole there to do it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I'm not sure at that point the Bills D-backs could have gotten that close to the Chiefs receivers to hold them. But
that's the thing. It's like, if you mess that up and you go to hit someone and you miss them, you get Tyreek Hill flying down the field. That's a problem.
Or if they call, you know, I mean, if they call a DPI, not a hold, I mean, so your timing has to be, you know, has to be pretty good there. But it's interesting. I know a couple of people tweeted that to me.
Yeah, I guess the timing would be like you tackle them off the line.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. You know, I don't know if the refs have the discretion to call personal foul in that situation or something, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, exactly what would happen, but it's certainly an intriguing idea.
I like the idea of Mahomes seeing it and just throwing it right into their feet, getting a DPI and moving the chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but I mean, big chunks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nobody should score in 13 seconds. I mean, it really comes down to that. You know, I joked to somebody, I texted a friend of mine, I was like, 13 seconds left. I was like, he left Mahomes too much time. And it ended up being true. It was
unreal.
It was wild. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of things. I was actually, and I'm friends with Sean McDermott. And I, like I said, I've known him since he was an intern with the Eagles. I was disappointed he didn't talk about the kickoff. He said he didn't want to talk about specifics. Maybe he didn't want to throw the special teams coach under the bus. But look, that's the biggest play of the season. You got to talk about it. You can't run from it. So I was disappointed with that.
Yeah. Later in the week, we'll go over the championship weekend and make our picks. But for now, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Anything quick on the other games? I thought Burrow showed unbelievable toughness. I mean, I don't know how he got up after some of those hits. What was he sacked, 9 times?
Yeah, it's amazing that you can lose a playoff game with that many sacks. He was great. He's tough. He's fun to watch too.
He is.
And then the Packers, I mean, as great as Aaron Rodgers has been, to be that great and to come up short so many times, it's going to tarnish his legacy a little bit.
I think so. I mean, he never had a shot. Somebody tweeted to me. That was a bad joke. But, yeah, one Super Bowl. Favre, one Super Bowl. Bart Starr, five Super Bowls. Greatest quarterback.
It's amazing that they went from Favre.
I'm sorry, not five Super Bowls, five championships.
Yeah. But they went from Favre to Rodgers. Like, that level of sustained success at that position without a ton of rings.
Two rings. I mean, Favre and Rodgers combined in 40 years won only one more than Nick Foles did. So, yeah, you never know. Maybe Jordan, what's his name? Jordan Love will win a couple. Yeah. But then the Niners game, just the importance of special teams. I mean, you know.
And D'Amico is crushing it.
D'Amico is crushing it. And with all due respect to Jonathan Gannon, who I like and I think will be a head coach one day and a good one, I mean, D'Amico Ryan should be a head coach before any other defensive coach, before Leslie Frazier or Todd Bowles or any. D'Amico Ryan's is, I mean, the job he did in that game was remarkable. It was phenomenal. If I was an owner, I would hire him. I mean, he'd be at the top of my list.
I'm with you. And it's not all just about scheme, but like we know D'Amico, he could be a head coach.
Yeah. I mean, what a leader. Just calm, organized, inspirational. I mean, he was like a coach when he was a player, you know? I mean, just the way
Chip loved him. That was, you know, Chip would always say D'Amico's a future head coach, or at least a future coach. He was coaching when he was here, you're right.
Yeah.
Mufasa in the middle there.
Yeah. Great player. He should have made the Pro Bowl in that first year. He played 1 year under Andy, right, in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he actually played under Todd Bowles by the end of the year. But in 13, he had like two interceptions, four sacks, three forced fumbles. He played great that year. I mean, but the defense was so bad. He did make a couple Pro Bowls with Houston. He never made one with the Eagles, but really good player. And, hopefully he gets that opportunity soon. Anything else from the weekend?
No, I don't think so.
Score big with the AAA Eagles MVP membership. Along with the superb roadside assistance and discounts you've come to expect from AAA, get exclusive Eagles-related perks. For all the details, visit AAA.com/Eagles.
All right, Rube, I have in front of me the list of Eagles pending free agents. Pretty long list here, but 9 unrestricted free agents, 4 restricted, and 1 exclusive rights. So I figured we would just go through them, give our thoughts whether or not we think A, if they'll be back. B, if it's even worth contemplating bringing them back. And to me, the toughest one we'll start with is Rodney McLeod. It's tough for a few reasons. I mean, because he's older. He's 31. He's had 2 ACLs. But at the end of this year, he started playing much better. And he makes really the defensive player of the year with that diving interception against Washington. It's easy to say just move on and get younger in the secondary, but you have to fill 3 starting spots. And if you can't do that, then maybe you're better off bringing him back.
Yeah, no, you said it exactly right. You have to ask yourself, what reason is there to not bring him back? Just because he's 30, what is he, 31?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the way he played over the last month of the season was really encouraging. And, you know, he did not play well when he first came back. I thought he couldn't run. But, I mean, look, that's understandable. He's coming off an ACL. What, he missed the first 2 games and he came back? You know, I thought Gannon started playing him less, and I think that helped him. Started rotating 3 safeties. And I think that helped Rodney, and I think he gradually got to the point where I was like – I think my gut reaction at the end of the season was none of the secondary free agents should be back. But the more I thought about it, I really don't think there's a reason not to bring him back. Rodney's not going to be looking for, you know, a huge contract. He's looking for a fair contract. But he's got so much value here. He's so respected. He's really kind of taken on that Malcolm Jenkins role in the locker room as far as leadership. And he's just a very natural leader. And played well at the end of the year. So considering that CB2 and the other safety spot are free agents too. I think it kind of makes sense to bring him back. Doesn't mean I don't want to draft a safety at some point. Yeah. And, you know, you still have Epps under contract as well, who I thought did some good things. I'm not sure he's long-term every down answer at safety, but I'm kind of in the keep Rodney for another year camp.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a terrible thing. You still have to try to get younger. The problem is, I was looking and look, maybe I'm not looking at the whole scope of the draft quite as well yet, but I'm starting to prepare for Senior Bowl next week. Not a great crop of safeties, at least seniors in this draft. So we'll see. But you're right. They have to figure out a way to get younger. If they bring Rodney back and then sign another younger player in free agency, that might work. And then you have Epps to mix in. But that, he's, to me, the toughest one to figure out. Next up is Derek Barnett, who I think we're both in agreement he's probably not going to be back. But I still think he's going to get paid decently on the open market.
I mean, edge rushers make a lot of money. I mean, he's still young. Did he even turn 25 yet?
Yeah, he's 25. He was so young when he came in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still at the point. I mean, he's teased us so many times. I'm still at the point where if he goes somewhere, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 10 and a half sacks in a season. But I think sometimes you just have to move on from guys. I mean, it's been 5 years, and he just has never become the player. I mean, even if he had, you know, 8 sacks this year, he had 2. And I understand it's not all about sacks. I get that. But he was invisible a lot. I don't really know what happened with him. I don't get his career arc. Somebody's going to pay him some money, but I don't think as much as he might have made, you know, a year or two ago. I mean, 5 years is a pretty big body of work to look at and say, is this guy going to, you know, what's this guy worth? So it'll be an interesting one to see who signs him and what he gets, but it's not going to be here.
Yeah, it might help them out comp pick wise, but the Eagles are probably going to be bigger buyers than they are losing guys, so it might not really matter.
Right.
Next one's Anthony Harris. I had higher hopes for him, honestly. I thought he wasn't very good early in the season. He came along a little bit. Then he had the hand injuries. He had 2 casts on for a while. It was just an okay year for a guy who a few years ago would have gotten paid a lot of money and been a, you know, they would have gotten Anthony Harris a few years ago. Everyone would have gone, oh my God, they got this great player. He was okay.
Yeah, he was just okay. He didn't really make a lot of plays. Just, you know, he was okay. I see no reason to bring him back. He wasn't awful, but he just didn't notice him a whole lot.
When they signed him, I thought that was their McLeod exit strategy, was we'll get a little bit younger and then re-sign Harris, let Rodney walk. But I'd flip that now. I'd rather keep the older player in McLeod, who I feel like makes bigger plays.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The play that he made against Washington, Anthony Harris ain't making that play. Yeah. Although he was involved in the play.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of forced that throw.
He did. He made a really good play on that rep. Yeah. If it came down to one or the other. And the thing about Rodney, like, no one's going to be offering him a huge long-term deal on the open market. His value is here, and I think he knows that, and I think they know that.
Next one, Steven Nelson, the third member of that secondary, he's going to be a free agent. Played fairly well in 2021, but you probably want to get younger at that outside corner spot, ideally, right? Especially when you have Slay, who's 31. At a certain point, you got to replenish.
Yeah, I thought Nelson was, you know, I don't know, are you doing grades for the – I mean, I'd probably give him a B minus for the year, maybe a B.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. Maybe a B, maybe a solid B. But, you know, you look at that secondary and all those guys, McLeod, Harris, Nelson, and Slay are all in that 29-31 range. And I just think that's a dangerous place to be in the secondary. Nelson came in. He did his job. I've got him taken Sauce Gardner in the first round, so – I'm putting Sauce out there from, you know, day one of training camp with the ones with Slay. So You know, Nelson's, if you have a first round rookie, whether it's him or I know you like Booth, whoever it is, Slay, and then Maddox in the slot, and then you bring back Rodney, and you have Epps and another safety. You know, I think you've upgraded pretty significantly there. So, I don't see Nelson being here. I also think he played well enough that somebody'll see him, say, you know, yeah, we'll give him some money. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he missed out on free agency last year because he was with Pittsburgh and then got released late. So,
right.
He has a chance to make some money, and he's the guy, like, he has no loyalty here. You know, he's got to go and take the biggest paycheck.
Yeah, and you don't want to get in a bidding war for Steven Nelson. So, yeah, I think he's gone.
Yeah. The next one, Ryan Kerrigan. This is a tough one too, Rube, because he's their playoff star. Can they just let their best playoff performer walk?
Yes.
You think he's in the league next year?
I think he retires. I mean, certain guys kind of play the game as if you can tell that they kind of are at the end of their career. And I don't mean that like, I mean, you can just tell. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't want to be out there. He didn't want to be playing, but sometimes you can just tell when a guy's kind of, you know, man, I've been doing this a long time. I've made the Pro Bowl a bunch of times. I had 100 sacks. What am I doing out here? So, you know, maybe that Bucs game reinvigorated him. He's going to try to, you know. And look, I mean, when he's in the big picture, when you're that age, what's Kerrigan, 33, 34?
Yeah.
Around there. You know, he's old as a football player, but he's not old as a, you know, as a person. And if somebody offers you minimum wage to go play football for a year, I mean, that's $1 million that you're going to, you know, they put in the bank. And it's hard to say no to that. So that's why a lot of guys kind of hang around too long. I mean, looking for that last paycheck. Because once you're done, you know, that money's gone forever, that big money. So maybe somebody offers him a deal. I don't really see it. I think he's done.
Next one, Hassan Ridgeway, stayed healthy this year, which was a big step for him. And he wasn't as productive as I think he might have wanted, especially he got off to a pretty good start, and the production really tapered off. But he also didn't get paid anything this year. He was on a veteran salary benefit deal, so he cost them less in terms of cap money than he did in contract. So
right.
Ultimately, I don't think he was a disappointing player this season.
He took up space. He stayed healthy. He got in the way a few times. I don't know what else to say about him. I think they got to get better across that D line. I don't think he'll be here if that's the question. he's like the ultimate just a guy. He's just a guy. And, you know, he's had a nice career. He's played, what's he played, 6-7 years now?
Well, I mean, the 3 years before this, he was hurt quite a bit.
But he got paid. I mean, I was just saying, he's been in the league. He's carved out a nice career for himself. He's a vested veteran. He's got a pension for life. So, he's not going to be here. I really like the Milton Williams pick. And it'll be interesting to see how they use him next year. I think his role might get a little bigger. We'll see what they have. But I think the bottom half of that D line has to be a lot better next year. And whether it's a guy who's here on a practice squad or another mid-range pick or even a first round pick, which isn't out of the question, they got to get better.
Okay. How about Jannard Avery, who moved to linebacker in his last year with the Eagles, made some plays this year. He wasn't bad in that Sam position in Gannon's defense. I actually think there's an outside shot he could be back.
Yeah, I think there's an outside shot he could be back. He's a weird player because he'll flash, like he'll make like four plays in a quarter, and then you don't notice him for like 3 weeks. Like his plays are all like they come in bunches. And I don't understand that. I've never seen a guy who is so streaky, like a defensive player who's so streaky. He'll get like a tackle for loss on three straight downs. You're like, this guy's unbelievable. And you don't notice him for like five games. He's a weird player that way. He's got a different kind of skill set, but he's active. You did give up a four for him. I kind of think he won't be here either. Do I have any of these guys coming back? Just Rodney so far. Yeah. I just think you got to get better at linebacker. And they're kind of, I guess I'm naive thinking that they're going to finally understand that they've got to get, you know, devote more assets to linebacker. I mean, they just got a bunch of special teams guys playing linebacker. And I don't think Avery's a great player. They just got to get better at that position. I'm going to say he's gone.
Yeah, the weird thing is, like, that Sam position, though, it's almost like – I don't even want to call it a linebacker because he's asked to do different things than the other guys. So, I don't – yeah, it's a tough way to figure out how to, like – what do you call that?
I wonder what they think of Jacoby Stevens.
Patrick Johnson would be the other – I mean, Patrick Johnson would be the other Sam if he's ready to take that. And early in the year, they were kind of splitting reps at that spot, and then Avery was just better. They played him, which I give them credit for, by the way.
Yeah.
You played the better guy, even though one's a draft pick.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean a guy like Jacoby Stevens – I mean, I don't think it means he's going to be behind Patrick Johnson his whole life.
I don't think he's that position.
No, maybe not. I mean – he's the only draft pick that didn't play, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he played at the end.
He played, I don't even count that game, but Patrick Johnson is I don't think he's the answer really to anything. So maybe you keep Avery just to play that position, but I mean, Avery played a lot of snaps this year. That's Sam. Yeah. Although some games he would, like some games he played 10 snaps, it's just weird. I guess it all depends on who you're playing and what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you might talk me into him. If we do this again in a week, I might be on keeping him right
I'll
now.
Do it every week until I talk you into it, and then I'll flip and say he's gone. The next one's Jordan Howard. He had kind of a career resurgence for a while, and then he had that stinger and was phased out later. I mean, talk about weird careers. Jordan Howard's up there.
Really up and down. I mean, Pro Bowler to come in here and then signing a huge deal with Miami and getting cut after like five games, practice squad a couple different years here, great stretch for five games, and then a non-factor at the end. I love you know, his persistence, his determination. I love the way he runs the ball. I just don't know if he can ever stay healthy enough to really be a factor at this point in his career. He's really been healthy for like 10 games the last 3 years, where he's really had great production. And I just think Gainwell has to have a bigger role next year. I think Gainwell, and I don't know if you could call him RB2 just because I'm not sure he's going to be a high volume runner. But I think, and I like Boston Scott more than you do, I think with Gainwell and Boston Scott and Miles, I just don't see where Jordan Howard fits in. If he doesn't go anywhere and he still wants to play and you have an injury, I'm fine bringing him back. But as far as re-signing him, I wouldn't do it just because I think those three guys have to play. I think Miles, Gainwell, and Boston have to play. They're they can all catch the ball. Obviously Miles has had his own injury issues, but I just think you have to build around those three guys. And if Jordan's available and you need him and he's out there, I have no problem bringing him in. I just wouldn't sign him to a deal unless if he wants to sign a deal with a minimum bonus just to have a place to be and get into a camp. But I don't really think he fits into the future. And I really like him as a player and I admire the way he runs. I like his attitude, the way he rebounded after the whole Miami experience and kind of really got determined to get back into the league. I mean, he's set for life financially. He made like $10 million in Miami. It's just not $10 million, but like a lot of money. I like him, but I think he's gone. What do you think? What's your Jordan Howard take?
If he's available, you bring him to camp and you let him sit on the practice squad because there's a good chance Miles gets hurt again and you need him. But anything beyond that, I wouldn't commit to him.
And again, you know, every running back gets hurt. So, I mean, the fact that Jordan and Miles both have injuries, I mean, Miles has had a little more than most. But I was looking like, I think Ezekiel Elliott's like the only running, there are only like three running backs that played in 17 games this year. I think Zeke, I think Chubb maybe, and like Penny, I think maybe, but there's not a lot. It's a really dangerous position to play. You're just going to get banged up. But yeah, as far as re-signing him as a free agent, which kind of, you know, is what we're talking about, I would wait on Jordan Howard. And I hope he gets a chance to play somewhere. I hope some team's like, you know what? We want you to be part of our rotation. Let's bring you in. But I hope he gets that opportunity.
All right. The last unrestricted guy is Jason Kroom, who you probably don't even remember is here, but he got hurt in August. So he's still on the team. Yeah. Hopefully he can finish his career somewhere else and get back in the field, but probably not here.
They do need another tight end, not him.
Yeah. All right. So they have four restricted free agents: Alex Singleton, Nate Herbig, Boston Scott, Greg Ward. Actually, some interesting names there and some decisions to make, because those restricted free agents, if you put a tender on them, come with specified contracts that might be a little bit more than the Eagles are willing to pay. So in a few of those cases, they're probably going to have to let those guys hit the open market and hope they can get them back for cheap.
Yeah, it's hard to know those guys' value, you know, from other teams, like how they look at them. It's Boston, Greg Ward, Singleton, and
Herbig.
And Herbie. Yeah, it'll be interesting. My guess is that I don't know about Greg Ward. I mean, I like Greg Ward, but obviously they didn't think enough of him to play him over Jalen Reagor this year. So I'm not sure he's back. And they're going to add at least a receiver somewhere, probably draft one and sign one. Boston Scott's an interesting one. Guy scores a lot of touchdowns. He gets in the end zone, which is a rare quality. He had the highest ratio of touchdowns per carries of anybody in the NFL, including quarterbacks this year. He had like 108 carries and like seven touchdowns or eight touchdowns, which is crazy. Just finds the end zone. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of tender they give him, what level.
I don't even know if they're gonna. I mean, the lowest tender amount is going to be around $2.4 million.
Yeah, that's true. That's
quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They might have to. Yeah, they can't pay him $2.5 million to be. I mean, yeah. So, is it really? It's that high, huh?
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But I also don't see him going anywhere else either. But we'll see.
That's the thing. I don't know if there's any teams like, and those are projected. We don't know the official,
right?
But they're normally, you know, spot on there. So, yeah. But I mean, some of those guys they'll probably have to let become unrestricted and then sign them.
Then you can sign up to whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's going to be less than that tender number. Herbie's an interesting one. I think he's a decent player, but you know, you've got so much. You've got Sua and you've got Driscoll. I don't know how they, you know, how exactly how they view Herbig. He's a nice backup, but I don't know if, you know, I whether he's here or not, I don't think he's going to determine whether they win a Super Bowl. But I like having
Herbie. Never know.
Herbie's fun to have around.
I like Herbie.
Yeah.
And they only have one exclusive rights guy. That's Andre Sasha.
What about Singleton? Right? I mean, Singleton is an interesting one, too.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a little overmatched on defense. At the very least, he's like a fill-in player on defense, and he's a special teamer. And you need guys like that. But
a really good special teamer.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
No team wants to pay him. You're not paying him.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, he's another one I have a lot of admiration for. You know, undrafted, got bounced around a bunch of teams in the CFL and played better than he had any right to. the effort was always there, but they've got to get better at that position. And that's what I mean. When I say they can't have a bunch of special teamers out there, I mean Alex Singleton. The effort is incredible. He gets 15 tackles a game. He gets everything out of his ability that he can. Like, there might not be a player on that team who does more with what he has, but I just don't want to play linebacker for my team. I'll just, you know, if he can be a backup, an emergency guy, special teamer, maybe there's a sub package, you know, goal line, whatever. But short of that, no.
Yeah. All right, we're mostly in agreement on this.
And who's the exclusive rights guy?
Andre Sacheret, who was a big-time contributor on special teams early in the year and then got phased out, and no one talked about it. He was inactive for the playoff game.
Yeah, was he? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they had Josiah Scott as the other gunner across from Zach McPherson.
Interesting. Yeah, that's something to watch. That probably doesn't augur well for his future.
Yeah, probably not.
I just like saying auger. Hey, Nissan just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever with their most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Now get great offers across Nissan's full line. Shop your local Nissan store today and NissanUSA.com.
So, Rube, I asked for mailbag questions, and I got a few for you. I just wrote mailbags all weekend, but this one was for you, and I thought it was a decent podcast topic. It was from Robert Geis, and we'll do mailbags later on in the off season. We'll do plenty of them for the podcast, but I wanted to get your take on this one. Rube wrote about his concerns about Roseman picking next year in an October column. Does he still hold that opinion, or has it changed? If it has changed, what led to his reassessment? I thought it's a good question because it was like late October when you wrote that, basically saying that no way Jeff Lurie should let Howie take control of a draft with 3 first-round picks.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me if you break it down to the first round and not the first round. Howie's drafted really well outside the first round for the most part. I mean, there have been misses, obviously, J-Jaw. But, you know, when you look at getting Mulata in the 7th round and Goddard and Miles. The 2nd round, I mean, he's, you know, I mean, Dickerson, Milton Williams in the 3rd round, Driscoll in the 4th round. There's a lot of good players they got in the later rounds. I mean, Kelsey was before, well, he was technically the GM. He was a 6th round pick. You can say that they've drafted better when you start considering like Fireman Danny and Rager and Dillard, that they've drafted better outside the first round than in the first round. Now, Devontae was a good pick. I will stand by. I think they need a different process with those first round picks, especially the ones outside the top 10. I mean, has Howie nailed a first round pick that wasn't in the top 10? You know, probably not, right? I think that the process has to be different. Look, we all know he's not going to fire Howie Roseman, so that's off the table. But I do think they need a different process. Whatever they're doing in the later rounds, whether it's more collaborative, you know, whatever that process is, they need to find a way to match that in the first round. It should be the other way, Dave. And that's what's so strange. I mean, Quez Watkins was a 6th round pick. Kenny Gainwell was a 5th round pick. I'm not saying Kenny Gainwell would have been a great first round pick, but he'd be better than some of the guys they've taken in the first round. I mean, if they took Kenny Gainwell instead of Rager, it'd be like, well, like, I don't know what you're doing taking him in the first round, but at least he's not Rager. So there, he's finding guys in the later rounds and missing on guys, whiffing on guys in the first round. So I will stick by the point of the column, which was he can't, whatever the process is that gave, that brought the Eagles Fireman Danny and Dillard and Rager, and you can even throw J-Jaw in there. He was a two. That can't be the same. I do believe that they've got to figure out why they're missing on these guys and change that. But I do think Howie, and it's not just Howie, but the whole staff. I mean, they're drafting after the first round, and really in the middle rounds to late rounds has been really good. I don't think there's a whole lot of teams who have gotten that kind of talent in the mid to later rounds. That's pretty impressive. But obviously you got to hit the first rounders because that's where you're getting the truly elite guys, you know, the guys that are going to change your franchise. So it's a great question. I might have eluded the answer a little bit, but he's not going to fire Howie. So that's not going to happen. But I do think they got to find a better way to evaluate the top guys in the draft.
Does the performance of the rookies in 2021 alter it at all? Because, I mean, it looks like a really strong class with Devontae, Landon, Dickerson, Milton Williams, even, you know, other contributors, Gainwell, later, Zach McPherson on special teams. They got some significant contributions. Jack Stoll, who was undrafted but part of the rookie class, significant contributions from this class.
Yeah, it might end up being Howie's best draft. I mean, since he became GM, that's saying it's the highest bar ever. No, I'm just kidding. But it does change things a little bit. I think, you know, you have a little more faith going into, gosh, they have such an opportunity to reshape this franchise in April. And, you know, it's not just the three first-round picks. I mean, they've got, I think, like six of the first 160 picks or something. I mean, they've got some draft capital here, and whether they, you know, how he's going to shuffle some things around and make it turn in more picks next year or whatever, but they really have an opportunity to, with three picks in the top 20, are you kidding me? If you nail these picks, if you nail all three of them, it's going to change your franchise. For years. If you miss on them, it's going to ruin your frame. I mean, it's like that day, that's going to be a span of about an hour and a half is going to reshape this franchise one way or the other. Now, we won't know for a while exactly how, but it's an incredible opportunity that very few teams have ever had. So I have more faith in him, I think, than I did before this draft. But I think everyone's going to be holding their breath on draft day, just, you know, see what happens. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun day. Like, just the mechanics of making three picks in that short a time is, like, we'll probably be joking with the PR guys. Are we going to get Howie in between 15 and 16, you know, you know, whatever it is. But that's going to be a pivotal day in the history of the franchise.
And if they stay at 15 and 16, they still make them put the clock up, right? Like, it's still...
Oh, do they get 30 minutes total, or is it 20? Is it 10 minutes in the first round? What is it now?
Yeah, I think it's 10.
Yeah, it used to be 15, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And like, how do you decide which guy you pick first? Like, that guy's going to make a little bit more, you know?
I bet you they would think about that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Howie's probably already thought about it. Like, what position? Like, in what order he'll like minimize the cap hit? Sure. I'm sure that's there was once the Eagles picked back-to-back running backs out of the same college, like in the seventh round. It was Kevin Bowie and Fred McCrary from Mississippi State, maybe. It was like in the sixth round, back-to-back picks. One was a fullback, one was a running back, and they were roommates. And Kevin Bowie was like the star. He was like the 1,000-yard rusher, and he was all pissed. He thought he was going higher. He never played in the NFL. Fred McCrary ended up having like a 10-year career, but they were back-to-back picks, same school, same round. That's I might have got cool. all the details wrong, but I think that's what happened.
Well, no one's going to look it up.
Somebody's going to look it up. A lot of people are going to look it up.
All right. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We didn't mention the Bucks game. Don't roll your eyes at me. Because what do you think Brady's going to do? We didn't really talk about the Tampa Bay game.
He's going to play next year.
I think he's going to retire.
All right. He's going to play next year. We'll have a friendly wager on that.
All right.
If you're, I don't know where I was in my thing.
You're just going to watching have to start on, over.
Gosh. All right. Know, if you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, please do us a favor, rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching YouTube, please click the like button and subscribe there as well. For Ruben, I'm Dave. This has been Eagle Eye presented by Nissan. We'll talk to you soon.